Here we are with Peter Welch, Democrat of Vermont, the only congressman in all of Vermont. He's been in office since 2007. It's extraordinary, Peter Welch, that you have two senators and only one congressman. That gives you a lot of say, doesn't it?
It gives me the only say when it comes to Vermont. I'm the voice of Vermont in the House of Representatives, and it's really a great honor because it really helps me have a direct relationship with the people that sent me here. There's six other states where there's one representative representing the entire state.
So let's go to the ACA or Obamacare and health care policy. Clearly, this president wants to do away with it. Clearly, this president is saying, we're going to have the best health care in the world or in the country here. And nobody has a clue as to what he wants in order to replace Obamacare.
Right. And there's really two things that are very discouraging about what the president is doing. First, he's having the weight of the federal government go into this lawsuit saying that they want to repeal the entire health care bill as unconstitutional. And what that means is that he's saying that the progress we made so that if you have a pre-existing condition or somebody you love has a pre-existing condition, they won't be able to get coverage anymore if the Trump lawsuit is successful. And that's just one of the insurance reforms. And then all these states that have expanded Medicaid and where they have a lot of folks who've gotten onto the exchange, they're going to lose their health care altogether. That's the cynical part of it. And there is, as you point out, no replacement, and there never has been. And that's really been the folly of the Republican approach about repeal and replace. Repeal, they pursued. Replace, they never have. There's a second aspect of this that's very, very disturbing to me, and that is this is a political decision that the president made. And the political decision was that he wants to rally his base rather than unite the country. There are a group of Trump supporters who want to repeal health care. That has become a driving agenda for them. But in fact, most Republicans now are acknowledging we've got to improve health care and that we've got to maintain the progress we made about making access to health care for people with pre-existing conditions. We've got to protect that. We've got to preserve the opportunity for our kids to stay on our policies until age 26. That's been tremendous. And we've got to maintain this access to health care through your lifetime if you have a chronic condition. And President Trump is saying, let's get rid of that. But it's really because Obamacare becomes a symbol for the president that he's against anything and everything associated with Obama. It's a divisive strategy. And it's the biggest problem I have with the Trump presidency. He's not trying to broaden the base and unify the country. He's trying to govern by speaking to the narrow concerns of a minority in his base.
My issue here is how can he get away with that? I mean, isn't everybody onto the game by now? He keeps saying
that. Well, it's up to the voters. That's why 2020 is going to be so important. And frankly, Alan, I don't think he is getting away with it. Keep in mind that the 2018 election was really a referendum on how Donald Trump was performing as president. It was not about the Democrats and what our agenda was, although we advocated, obviously, to improve health care and to have an infrastructure plan and to lower prescription drug prices. And we've got to start acting on that. But this was fundamentally a question about whether people approved of the way Donald Trump was going. And obviously, the verdict is in. They disapprove of the way he's been governing. And the next opportunity Americans are going to get is 2020 in the presidential race. That's why that's so absolutely crucial.
Have you ever heard the saying, from your lips to God's ear? Okay, so what about net neutrality? You know, you've been big on that. You want to restore it. It would appear that a lot of Americans, including a lot of Republicans, want it. Is there going to be a way to do it?
There is going to be a way to do it. I mean, bottom line, we have to have access to the Internet, whether you're a small business starting out in your garage or you're a big company. And net neutrality is about making certain that whether you're small, medium, or large, you can't be blocked, you can't be throttled, and you can't be discriminated against because you're a smaller player. That's really, really critical. And a lot of Republicans join me in saying they want to achieve those goals. Here's where the difference is. In the net neutrality bill that we passed out of committee, it did all those things, but it also empowered the Federal Communications Commission to be a cop on the beat, so that if there's inappropriate behavior by some of the big titans on the Internet, like Google or Facebook, the cop on the beat can protect the consumer in the small business. And bottom line, there's a lot of pushback by the big Internet service providers where they basically want no regulation whatsoever, even the possibility of regulation, even in the face of conduct that is inappropriate. So are we going to have a cop on the beat or not to make certain that net neutrality is preserved? That's the big difference in the debate right now.
Let me go on to LIHEAP. Now, people don't know what it is, but it helps people who can't afford their heat. And I know even the Shartox are feeling the pinch because we have a fairly larger house. And the government has a low-income heating assistance program. Now, we're not going to benefit from that, but there's nothing worse than freezing in some little place somewhere because you can't have any heat. And this is a program that does it. And the budget and the Trump budget cuts it.
Well, and I think they basically eliminate it. They are against a continuing what has been a bipartisan commitment to providing some assistance during the cold weather months to folks in cold weather states. And Republicans and Democrats in these cold weather states know how absolutely essential it is. Like in Vermont, it's a modest amount of money. It's like $400 to $500 in a heating season. And you know, when your tank gets filled up, it costs way more. It can cost way more than $400 or $500.
A time.
It really is the margin of difference. Yeah. And in Vermont, we've got a lot of our fuel delivery dealers who've created programs to try to help folks on low income with some additional assistance. And so there's a public and a private effort here to try to help really low-income folks get through the winter. And the president acts like that is no big deal. And cutting that is really a threat to the well-being of a lot of people who, absent that assistance, would literally be freezing. And by the way, that program, LIHEAP, also helps in the hot weather states where their challenge is in the summer. You know, you're in the desert in Arizona. You do need air conditioning when the temperature is 110 degrees.
So what's the chances of making a dent in this? I mean, he's got the Senate and he's got the presidency.
We've had pretty good success overcoming a draconian Trump budget proposal. What I've seen in the last 2 years, actually, is even in the Senate, there is on the Appropriations Committee some bipartisan cooperation. You know, we've got Senator Leahy, who's the ranking member in the Senate.
Indeed.
On the Appropriations Committee, and he's got a very close relationship with Senator Shelby from Alabama. So I actually have some confidence that despite the Trump bluster and his clear disdain for folks with low income, that cooler heads are going to prevail and will succeed. That's my hope. And I'm going to be working as hard as I can in the House with Republicans and Democrats to make that happen. But we've got good help there in the Senate.
Always wonderful to talk to our friend Peter Welch, an outstanding congressman, great guy from a Democrat from Vermont, the only congressman in all of Vermont. He's been in office since 2007. Thank you so much, Peter. When we come back the next time, let's get right down to Mueller.